Blog Talk Radio.
Dennis Lattis. Dennis Lattis. Dennis Lattis. Dennis Lattis. Dennis Lattis.
People, how y'all doing out there, man? Today's gonna be a little bit different today, man. Well, we're going into talking about race relationships and stereotypes of today. You know, a race relationship and stereotypes of today, man, is basically about how the other race feel about each other. Why do we name call each other? Why do the human race stereotype each other? And we bleed the same blood, you know. So, I just want to know, you know what I'm saying, basically what's up with that. You know, so that's going to be the topic of the day. And also, too, I want to give a big ups to my man from Fenwick High School in Chicago, Illinois. Man, I think it's on the south side to their teacher over there, man. He won that Jeopardy championship, man. Big ups to you, man. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about, man. Chi-Town, stand up, man. You know, a lot of people, man, I guess they doubt us, man. I guess. I don't know. But big ups to you, man. I'm going to get his name in a minute, man. I do apologize. I'm not on 100% on point. But basically, man, what I'm going to do is this here. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to read it again, man. Race relationships and stereotypes of today. You know what I'm saying? What's up with it? You know what I'm saying? Basically, how do other races feel about each other? That's what I want to know about that. We obviously know that, you know what I'm saying? You know, the blacks, the whites, Puerto Ricans, the Mexicans, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you are, man, nationality you are, man, I want to know y'all culture. I want to know what it is that you have. You know, I don't, you know, I practice the First Amendment, you know what I'm saying? Speak your mind. I say try not to disrespect each other by name calling, you know, the N-word, the S-word, the whatever word, the H word, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, if it slips out, this is a mature show. You know, I don't condone in it, but at the same time, if you're speaking out and this is how you've been talking, you know, I can't stop you from how this is how you come across to yourself. So, again, I'm going to read it again. We're talking about the race relationships and stereotypes of today, you know what I'm saying, what it is with people, man. So what I'm going to do is this, man. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. And then by the time we come back, man, the case should be back in the building, man. So, you know, so what I want y'all to do, man, is just sit back. I want y'all to meditate on that for a minute. Not even a minute, man. Probably about, 45 seconds? Meditate on that for about 37 seconds, man. All right, we're going to come back, man. We're going to start up the show, kick it off. Let's go. Okay. Get the button on the work for you.
Tune in to the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show, that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westernworld1.com.
Okay, we back in the building, man. So basically, man, on a topic, man, this here is race relationships and stereotypes of today.
Yeah.
What up, Case? You in the building?
What up, B? What up, B? I'm in the building.
Okay, cool, man. All right, man. So we just talked about that a little bit, man. So it's pretty much your show, man. You know, the race relationships and stereotypes, man. What all do you have in store for us?
Oh, man, tonight, you know, I just wanted to get in a little, you know what I'm saying, a couple topics about stereotypes and, you know, our relationships with other cultures and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud.
Okay, yeah. Just talk about some of that stuff tonight, you know what I'm saying? You know, just kind of like freestyle tonight, so... You know, for all the listeners out there, man, call in, because this is definitely your night, you know what I'm saying, that you can open up about a couple things, and don't be scared to say, you know, how you feeling.
You mean, like, what, as far as what you mean, they, you know, first call in, they start using the words, man, the N-words or the L-bombs and stuff?
I'm saying, speak freely, man. I mean, if that's how you feeling, that's how you feeling. They, you know, I can't control how another person feels. But, I mean, we can handle a couple of them, you know what I'm saying, topics tonight about the N-word, about the S-word, if that's what you want to call it, a cracker or whatever. You know what I'm saying? We can take the origins. We can talk about the origins of them words tonight and what they really mean.
Okay, cool. All right, man. So what I'll do is this, man. I'll go ahead and I'll just, you know, play a quick song, man. Then we, you know, say get everything together, and then we'll just go ahead on in. And then, you know, we just go ahead on in, man. We just do our thing, you feel me?
For sure.
All right, cool. See you, man. All right, man, so let me see what we can do here, man. So basically, man, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go in, we're going to play a quick song. Then we're going to come on back. And then next thing you know, man, we're going to come back to the truth and go from there. All right, man, so stay tuned. Hit that, you know, if you're calling in, the number here is 347. 838-9106. Press the number one button if you want to talk. Alright, let's go.
I done been around Crips and Bloods, pimps and thugs, just the name of few. I do drugs, mama say it's in my blood, but she don't know what the fuck I've been through. To creep through the back door, the typical black boy in the good old USA. Before I push rhymes like Wade, I used to want to play for the NBA. Fuck I'm doing talking about Pineal Glen, ancient ways of Sumerian. Ain't nothing wrong with a righteous man. That's why I had to write this, man. My niggas on the corner selling water, let somebody daughter fluctuating prices, man. I ain't got no gavel, I ain't tryna fight nobody battle. I just wanna be free. I ain't tryna be nobody chattel.
Nobody chattel. Nobody chattel. Nobody chattel. Nobody chattel. wish I could see other Selassie. Maybe my sovereignty will still be mine. If all the gangs in the world unify, we stand a chance against the military tonight. I said we stand a chance against the military tonight. I said we stand a chance against the military tonight.
Them AK clips, they extra peel. Smoking on some of that extra kill. Purple, earth, ooh, that Jaleel. I put that on everything. If we could link up every gang, and niggas is willing to bear the pain, and put the White House lights out today.
Okay, KKK.
We mobbing like we the black KKK. Don't forget my AKA Mayday. P or your PhD or your AA. Dear Barack, I know you're just a puppet, but I'm giving you props. You're lying to the public like it ain't nothing, and I just love it. I hope it don't stop. I don't give a damn, nigga, bang that block. I don't give a fuck, nigga, bang that Glock. I seen the image of Hitler in the picture when the Twin Towers drop. Context. You got progress, you got Congress. We protesting, hope they confess. Just proceed on your conquest. I ain't got no gavel. I ain't finna fight nobody battle. I just wanna be free. I ain't finna be nobody chattel.
Nobody chattel. Nobody chattel. Nobody chattel.
Wish I could see other Selassie. Maybe my sovereignty will still be mine. If all the gangs in the world unify, we stand a chance against the military tonight. I said we stand a chance against the military tonight. I said we stand a chance against the military tonight.
Extra bail, extra bail. Nose cannon ring like sofa ring. My baby needs to answer me. Smash this up like Oprah Green. Pull around, come back, Oprah Green. Top blue off, low buzzing team. Jet lined up like homeless me. Feeling up in the hobby and homeless feel. Okay, okay, okay. Don't try to stop and get in my way. You'll get stumped like a Broadway play. AK Melee, make it out, bay, okay? Feel my pain, going insane. I'm insane, cause I ain't got shit but an EVE card from a fiend that owe me innocent and her daughter name. How the fuck is they supposed to eat? How the fuck am I supposed to eat? Got a nigga in the streets, no health care, trying to slang weed to some black shoes on the feet. So fuck you, you don't give a fuck about me. Can't get a job if they drug test me. Got a nigga stressed up, pressed, got a feeling in his chest and a world stripped of happiness. I ain't got no gavel, I ain't trying to fight nobody back. I just wanna be free, I ain't finna be nobody shot.
Nobody shot, nobody shot.
Cool. Man, good boy AB.
Hey, yo, yo, we back in the building. Y'all sleep, you there?
I'm there.
Nah, okay, okay. We back up in this motherfucker, man. So basically, tonight, let's just go all out, man. Let's go all out. I know y'all listening out there. People to talk about race relations and stereotypes, man. So we're gonna kick it off like this. Basically, let's get into that word that everybody is scared of, man. The word that everybody's scared to use, and you know what word I'm talking about, right, Dylan?
Yeah, I know a word.
I mean, we use it every day. Black people use it on a daily basis, but other races, they not sure if they should use it or, you know what I'm saying? And we gonna start. Let's be real with it. Nigger. Nigger. Not the G-A. I'm talking about with the E-R. No matter how you say it, it's still the same, you know, it's the same word. You know what I'm saying? You know how black people, we always try to take stuff and throw it into slang and be like, it don't mean the same thing. But technically, it does. You know what I'm saying? So let's basically talk about the origins of that word, man. Let me go ahead and kill this real quick, man. Hold on, man. We need something smooth for this, Billy. You got something smooth for this right here, man?
You know me, man. I keep it smooth, man, but you know me, I go into the rap on you in a minute.
Okay, okay. All right, man. Let's talk about the origins of the word nigga, man, because a lot of people don't know this, but Europeans ain't the first people to start using that term, nigga. You dig what I'm saying? Europeans ain't the first people to start using this word. Actually, the Arabic, the Arab people was the first people to start calling black people by the word, nigga. You dig what I'm saying? And I mean, it wasn't always a derogatory word, you know what I'm saying? They was just going off basically the word Niger, which is actually, if I'm not sure, it's a country in Africa. You know what I'm saying? It's a country in Africa. So they was basically going off that, man. We've been known by many names, Moor, Ethiopian, Niger. I mean, you got the word Niger in the Bible. Did you know that, Dylan? You know what I'm saying? The word Niger is actually in the Bible. Jesus' brother, you know what I'm saying, was called a Niger. He was of the Niger tribe. So, you know what I'm saying? And then, once again, like I said, nigga was not always a bad word, because then there was an ancient tribe in, actually in, I think, if I'm not correct, the south part of Asia that was called Niger. You know what I'm saying? The Niger tribe and shit. So, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't always a bad word until, you know, basically the European touched it and started using it in a derogatory way. And that's really kind of weird, you know what I'm saying, that they started using it in a derogatory sense and everybody just clung on to that word. And now today, you know what I'm saying, a lot of brothers say that they use this word in a term of endearment and power, and, man, ain't no power behind that damn word. There's no power. I'm just letting it fly tonight, man. There's no power behind saying, what's up, my nigga, and all of this. You still calling yourself a nigga, which I do not promote to anybody to do. I use the word. I ain't going to play perfect. You know what I'm saying? It's a word that's inside our vocabulary of words as black people. You know what I'm saying? We grew up off this word. But I kind of think that we need to kind of get rid of it, man, because then you get around a whole bunch of other people and they want to use the word and they want to get mad because they can't use the word. And black people, we are so emotional with the word that we like, nah, can't nobody else use it, and we ready to beat up everybody that want to use the word, but we use it on a daily basis. So for us to tell white people or Spanish people not to use this word is kind of ignorant in itself.
I feel that.
That's just like, okay, let's touch this real quick. Polack. Polack was not always a bad, it wasn't a derogatory word either. The Polish people used to call themselves Poles. You get what I'm saying? But soon as other Europeans touched it, when they got to America, that's when it became a derogatory word. And it's kind of weird in itself that, man, when Europeans touch a word, that shit becomes derogatory, man.
So, man, do you think it's more so how they say it, man? You know what I'm saying? Versus telling you to come at it. Like, if a white person comes to you and say, what up, my nigga? You know what I'm saying? To talk to you in that terminology. I mean, do you still get, you know what I'm saying, offended, you know what I'm saying, by it? You know what I'm saying, that word? Because I was not to jump off of your subject, I was listening to the little Cat Williams clip when he was going in on Quentin Tarantino. He said, man, that word been used, I think, 166 times or something that he counted it. And everything, he said that he don't have nothing against, he don't like the whole thing. He said he don't have nothing against, what's his name, Steven Spielberg, because when he did Amistad, he said Steven Spielberg wasn't trying to be black, but
But what I don't mean to cut you off, I mean, Spike Lee was on that too, man. This is my whole thing about it. I mean, I rock with Cat Williams. I rock with Spike Lee, you know. But let's just be realistic now, man. Like, why are you going to get mad when you hear it on a daily basis coming out of black people's mouth? I mean, it's not one day you go without somebody saying, what's up, my nigga, or you hearing this word. You know what I'm saying? So it shouldn't bother us, because, you know, the funny thing is, black people got rough skin, man. We got leather skin, man. We don't been through so much stuff, and we just keep on trucking. So that word, we shouldn't get all bent out of shape and emotional behind that word. I mean, I know there's a lot of power and a lot of pain with that word, but we the ones that's giving the power. I mean, like, for instance, how did it get derogatory is, okay, they was hanging black people from trees saying, die, nigga. Now, what if they was hanging black people from trees and saying, die, you piece of plastic? I mean, would we feel the same way about plastic? You know what I'm saying? So it's just all about how you take it, man. The only thing with black people, man, is I can say about us is we very, very emotional with certain subjects, which we need to get off of. That's where we still at as a unit, being so emotional, because we let our emotions fly, and that's what gets us in trouble. Like, he let his emotions fly towards Quentin Tarantino, how he gonna punch the man in his mouth and do all of this type of shit. And Spike Lee, come on, man, Spike Lee don't got no room to be talking about nobody with the N-word, because, I mean, it's been a couple of his movies that had the N-word up, and ain't nobody come out against him over that.
Right.
And don't say, oh, because I'm black, you know what I'm saying, it's fair for me to do what I want to do, but these people can't do what they want to do, because they're going to do what they're going to do regardless. All you're doing is making yourself look like an ass every time you strike out against them, because you already know they're going to keep doing what they want to do. If, as long as a person know that they're getting under your nerves and they're getting under your skin with something, they're going to keep on doing it. But if we don't respond to it and we like, hey, you know what I'm saying, the movie Help, I counted nigga up in that movie like 33 times. And I think it won an Oscar or something, didn't it?
Well, I mean, it was just certain things that he raised about the word, about the movie. He said, Django, he said, in the D is silent. He's like, black people weren't even reading back then, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to make it seem like, you know, like they were trying to, you know, push it on to be ignorant. You know, I like the movie personally. I'm not going to even go front. It was funny. Actually, it did make fun of white people to me, you know, so I took it in a whole other realm of it, man, because he was cracking jokes on them, too. You know what I'm saying? He was making fun of them about, you know what I'm saying, the KKK bag, who made the bag, you know what I'm saying? He was pulling it on. You know, he was making them seem like they was kind of stupid a little bit, you know? So,
I mean, dude, it's just like this. I feel like this, man. We shouldn't be watching TV to begin with. You know what I'm saying? Overall, trying to watch somebody's movie from another culture. But, I mean, we do. That's a part of our cultural entertainment in the United States, to sit and watch a movie instead of reading a book or something like that. So, I mean, just let it be. If you know that you for to get ready, I mean, when you watch this TV, you already know it's a lie business. It's going to tell you a lie. You know what I'm saying? It's fiction. It's fictional. We know all most of them stories on there. It's fictional stories.
Yeah.
Made up basically just for entertainment. So, I mean, that's what we need to receive it as and stop putting so much emotion and, you know, energy inside of that type of stuff. And, I mean, I feel like with Spike Lee, without them making movies, we wouldn't have to be tripping about movies that's coming out about black people.
True. You know, the word television, if you really think about it, is a person telling a vision of what they
right.
see. So,
that lie vision, to tell a lie to the vision.
Right.
The vision of a person.
Right.
So, you know, when nowadays, man, let's talk about the TV real quick, man, just so a lot of people, because there's a lot of uneducated people. I'm not trying to make it look like I'm trying to sound better than anybody, but when I say uneducated, there's a lot of people that don't know these certain things. So, I mean, everything that you see on TV, man, is there for a reason. Everything got its reason, and TV is mostly about advertisement. It's
mm-hmm.
really about advertisement and selling you something. You can see every damn 10 minutes there's a commercial. You dig what I'm saying? So it's there to just get you to buy some stuff and all of that stuff. So as far as the television, man, the television is just what it is. It's called, they used to call it the idiot box back in the day.
Yeah, you know, that one-eyed monster, what Mr. Farrakhan always used to say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we came from listening to AM radio stories where you had to envision what you was hearing inside your brain, and to black and white TVs on to the color TVs. Now we got HD TVs. And, I mean, really, let's talk about the HD. I don't even know what the hell HD is for, because I don't see no difference. I mean, I see a difference in quality, but then you have these other qualities coming out, Blu-ray and all of this. I don't see no difference. I mean, what it's doing is looking more liver to me, like a soap opera.
You mean like, you know, oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
It don't look like a lot of these movies that's coming out, man, really don't look cinematic anymore. They look more liver, and, you know, I guess they want you to see the sweat fly, the blood fly. They want you to be there in the movie. So I guess that's probably going to be the next thing, put a chip in your ass and you be inside the movie.
Well, I mean, they're working on that now, that virtual reality, man. They got it to where as you're sitting down in the chair. They got it to where you got the glasses on. They even got it to where the whole thing will move and shake while you in, you know what I'm saying, looking at the action figure movie. They got them at the movie theaters. You know, the electric shock and all that stuff, whatever you feel the stuff. And pretty soon they probably is going to have, you know, I'm stereotyping now. They probably is going to have that, you know, when you put the tip in there, they're going to make you feel everything. You got to feel everything that that person's going through. I mean, I don't think that would be a good movie, do you?
I mean, dude, people nowadays, man, a lot of people running away from their pain and problems, you know what I'm saying? So people are bound to do any damn thing nowadays, man. It might be entertainment for some people. It might not be entertainment for some people. But I don't put anything past people on what they're planning to and go do. So, you know what I'm saying? With that said, but real quick, back on topic, man. We just get, black people, we get bent out of shape when other races use that word. And, I mean, it's kind of stupid, man. It's kind of stupid.
Well,
I mean, how do you feel when somebody used that word? If you got on the train going to work and you hear a bunch of white boys talk about, well, this nigga that, but you see them, they got on hip-hop clothes. How would you feel about that?
Well, honestly, man, I have endured that experience already, man. So, you know, it used to really just, it gets to me a little bit. You know, I keep it 100. Like, I'd be like, damn, you know, can you find other vocabularies? You know what I'm saying? Can you find other words to pretty much use, to utilize? You know what I'm saying? But then I learned how to get up, walk away, tune it out, or don't say nothing because I know that they're not pertaining. You know, I'm not a nigga. You know what I'm saying? Not pertaining to the fact of that this is what we are. That's why I said when I asked you earlier, you know, is it about what they're saying to each other, is you know, how they're saying it, you know what I mean? Because we got some, you know, white friends, man, that, you know, say that word, and we don't really say too much to them, you know what I mean? Unless we in an emotional state of mind, you know?
Right, right. I mean, that's what I was saying, you know. A lot of black people got white friends, man. You know what I'm saying? A lot of black people got white friends, and I'm pretty sure they don't sit there, you know what I'm saying? Okay, put it like this. Most of the the white people that grew up in the hood, you know what I'm saying, and hung around black people all their lives, why do they get a free pass but the suburban white person don't get a free pass?
Well, I think because they don't know that person, you know, honestly. You know, and they're just keeping it real, man. If you don't know that person and they come up to you and just automatically just come into you and just say that word to you, we automatically got that embedded in us. To where if a white person, Puerto Rican person, dude, Puerto Ricans, you know what I'm saying, Mexicans, you know, they come up, they use the word, like, they use it, like, straight up.
They use it like they own it, man. That's why I was going to ask tonight, you know, for the listeners out there, like, what if black people just start running around and saying spick all day? You know what I'm saying? I wonder how Mexicans will feel if black people went around and did that. Because, I mean, a lot of Mexicans, they, the ones that know, you know, the experience and everything, they always say, man, I'm black too. Or Puerto Ricans, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm black too. You know what I'm saying? These white motherfuckers against me too. That's how they say it. You know what I'm saying? So I can use that word. But I kind of feel like this. If we going to limit it, nobody should be able to. Now, no Mexicans. No Puerto Ricans. Well, Puerto Ricans are technically African, but you know what I'm saying? We shouldn't let nobody that ain't, you know, brown-skinned or black-skinned, not even light-skinned, you can't even use it if we don't go that far, you know what I'm saying? Nobody should be able to use the word, you know what I'm saying, if we really going to go there, but I see it every day, like you said, Mexicans use it. Oh, what's up, my nigga? Oh, what's up, nigga? What you been up on, nigga? They damn near say it more than black people. So, you know, to any Mexican listeners out there, man, or any Spanish listeners, I mean, how would y'all feel if black people start calling each other spicks and, you know, using the spick word, just throwing it around and flanking it around? I don't think people would be too comfortable. I mean, I don't know, but, I just want to know how y'all feel about that.
Right.
So, you know, and then, you know, with one thing I want to get into, stereotypes about black people. What's some stereotypes about black people that you ever heard, Dylan?
Stereotype? I heard.
There's so many of them.
This is one here, man. I think I started dying laughing. They said, man, if you want to keep the truth hidden away from a black person, put it in a book.
Wow. 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 That ain't a stereotype shit. That's borderline the truth.
Man.
I mean, technically, black people, we don't really, you know what I'm saying, we don't read much, man. That's our biggest problem. We got one book sitting on our mantle, and normally that's the Bible or the Quran, and we don't want to hear nothing else about nothing else. We don't hear about no science. We don't want to hear about nothing, because that's technically the only thing that we know.
Right.
If you go to any black person's crib, I'm telling you, go in the hood, man. You probably ain't going to find many books on subjects of anything. You know what I'm saying? That's like, you probably find some novels here, there, you know what I'm saying, the little black novels. But then you're going to find one big-ass book, and that's going to be what? The Bible.
True.
So if you want to hide the truth from a black person, yeah, you can put it in the book. So I can't really say that's a stereotype. How about this one? Like, when you go in, you walking downtown, and there's a bunch of white people around, and the white woman clutch her purse, like you want to just grab her purse and run.
Yeah.
We all thieves. And I mean, yep. I went through this a lot, man. You know, my wife worked downtown, and you know, it'd be times I go see her at work. She worked in big high rise buildings where a lot of like rich white people live. Talk about people with the money. You know what I'm saying? I'll get on the elevator. Some of them would be cool. They'll sit there and talk to me and everything, but you know what I'm saying? Most of them won't say anything. I even had one woman look at me and was like, she had eyes behind her head, man. She pulled her purse up in front of her and that thing. I'm like, are you serious? You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, are you serious? It made me pretty uncomfortable, you know what I'm saying? So that's a stereotype that a lot of us steal. You know what I'm saying? Listen.
Hello today.
Yeah. So, you know, that made me pretty uncomfortable. But, you know, check this out. We going to take a break real quick, throw on a music, you know, try to get these callers to call up in here, man. And then we'll be back on topic with y'all tonight. Well, what you want to hear, Sleep?
Hey, man, you know me, man. It don't bother me, man. I throw, you know, I'll put that Trade the Truth on, man.
Put the Trade the Truth, I bet. Let me find this up in the little DJ joint real quick. All right, here we go. Say the truth. I'm getting sick of this shit.
Drama got me stressing again, so I'm feeling like I'm barely missing my blessing again. Say a prayer, then I load my Smith and Wesson again. It ain't no telling when these niggas gon' be fixing again. From all the mess that I was in, they say I'd end up in the grave. Or I would end up in an 8x10 for the rest of my days. If they come and I ain't running the ghetto, it's where I stay real. Nigga found me up in the gutter that's full of strays. Still a few seconds away of me feeling I'm out of time. I might not tell you something wrong, but I tell you ain't nothing fine. If I was anybody else but the truth, I'd probably be crying. Had a child the other day, but I found out he wasn't mine. It might not look like I'ma make it, but fuck it, I'm gon' be trying. Niggas say I'm out of line, but I say I'm out of my mind. Niggas betrayed to be down, but I guarantee you they lying. Watching niggas come around and hoping I give them they sign. I'm getting sick of this shit. Around, I'm seeing shit more worse. I ain't having the best of the feeling. I just got cursed. I go to tripping when I think a hawk can trip in the hearse. And I wonder why death ain't come and get the fake niggas first. The way I'm feeling got me looking for a permanent nurse. That's why I put 90% of what I feel in the verse. Everything I live is real. I ain't never had to rehearse. So tell them niggas who ain't street gonna get the fuck off my turf. Tell them I'm back. So gonna get a seat and relax. ABNDANG. I'm about to pull up and pack. And if I tell you I'm the realest, I'm just stating a fact. I guarantee I got the remedy for roaches and rats. The truth is here. The motherfaking niggas is gone. The image is lost and roaming like a signal on my phone, standing alone. Your pussy niggas know what I'm on. I'll make the first nigga who talking reevaluate his tone. I'm getting sick of this shit.
But I'm not gon' quit. I'm not gon' quit. I've come too far. I'm getting sick of this shit.
looking at niggas that I thought I was cool with. 2020 niggas, yeah, they on that new shit. They feel like I own some, but I don't know niggas. Nothing but middle fingers, like fuck them, I bet they won't do shit. Hop inside of my shoes, I'll introduce you the whole time. Listen when I speak, I'll introduce you the whole rhyme. Thinking of all the people around me that got took away. I'm 100 miles of running, I won't stop till I fall down. Pressure, probably just enough to make you lose it. Pistol under my seat, praying I don't have to use it. Only fear God, nothing else, and don't confuse it. Loyalty ain't the same, fuck nigga, gon' abuse it. Sick of they lies, sick of they cry, sick of this pain, sick of this rain, sick of these niggas speaking my name. Shit ain't the same, been that way since I am, did it with fame. I'ma hold my head high, never hold it the same. Bitch, I'm sick of this shit.
To the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Keith, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westernworld1.com.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You got this one. Hey, you know what, man? Just listening to that Trade of Truth, man, made me think of a story real quick that happened, man. This is a real story I want to put out there, man.
Uh-huh.
We talk about stereotypes. So, check it out. I'm in Whole Food, right? I'm in Whole Food. I got my wife with me, her friend, you know what I'm saying? Both of them Caucasian women, Polish women. You know what I'm saying? So they was, like, walking down the aisle. I was in another aisle, you know what I'm saying? And we all met up at the end of the aisle. So one of the girls that worked inside the store, she was white, you know, a Caucasian girl. I walked up to my wife, and I threw something in the cart, and I started to meet with her friend, like, you know what I'm saying? I was messing with them, pushing them and stuff, you know, jumping on them and stuff. Just, you know, we all laughing and everything. The white girl that works inside a Whole Food came up to them. This was funny. Like, I couldn't even believe. I thought it was a joke. She came up to them, and she asked them, am I bothering them? And then asked them, should she call security?
Wow.
And I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking this chick is really joking. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, I wasn't dressed, you know what I'm saying, to impress. I wasn't on no super, super fly. You know what I'm saying? I had on some little jogging pants, hoodie, a hat, you know what I'm saying? Just looking my regular self or whatever. And I'm, like, looking at this chick like, are you serious? Like, so, you know, my wife spoke out. She was like, that's my husband. Like, what's the problem? And old girl, you know, you could see she got red in the face and everything. But then, you know, something kept bothering me about the situation. So I went to the manager. Come to find out, this ain't the first complaint that they got about this chick doing something, you know, racist like that. So, you know, basically live, man. We live in a stereotypical, you know, world every day. You know what I'm saying? We live in this that type of world every day, man. You can't really get past it, because really what helps force and push them stereotypes on people is TV.
Right.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? I know you had a story. What was you going to say?
Well, basically, man, I mean, the story, man, that I had, man, was just basically, you know, it wasn't a story that I encountered. It was just the stuff that I was listening to, you know, like this thing about the Willie Lynch letter, the Willie Lynch this, the Willie Lynch that. You know, whatever, and I'm not saying this or that or whatever towards it, because I'm not trying to downplay it. You know what I mean? It's just that basically just learning from what it is. You know, a lot of people say, man, you know, a white man wrote that or whatever, whatever the case may be. But if you really read that letter, listen to somebody reading it or just somebody encountering that letter, man, they speaking of what's going on right now today, but just in a different realm. of the way that it's being dished out. You know what I'm saying? Like public aid, green card, things that these people are using. Even though public aid is supposed to be up and running good for the public, period. But a lot of women are on it, you know what I'm saying? More than a lot of guys. A lot of guys can really get it, you know? But basically, man, what he was telling me was, when he broke it down, he was saying how to deactivate the willy link. I know, I think you kind of heard about this, right? And how you deactivate the willy link. He said, man, what they did was, man, and this is some two cases he was talking about with African-American women. And then also, too, my boy, sorry about that. They'll pop up. Let me turn this off right here. For me, man, do the pop up. I feel like Dave Chappelle, the pop up. Anyway, man, but basically, man, with the Willie Lynch show, how it is, and the guy broke it down. I think the pastor, man, he broke it down and said, man, what they used to do back in the days, man, they used to get the strongest Africans or the strongest slaves, right? And they get him and put him in front of everybody, like Toby. And when they showed that about him getting beat, he was the only one that was rebellious.
We can hardly hear your phone that good, man. But what we going to do, I don't mean to cut you off and everything. I know you probably got a little situation going on with your phone over there. Right now, we got a caller that just called in. We going to go ahead and take this call because I guess he got something to say real quick. So.
Okay, can you hear me?
Caller, you want to air?
Yeah, I can hear. Yeah, I was worried that something was wrong with my phone. That other caller was sounding kind of muffled.
Okay, do I sound better now? I'm cool.
Yeah, it sounds a whole lot better.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I was listening to your conversation. And, you know, I always say, I don't know why black people worry about race relations anyway. But, and I often ask whites if they had to do it all over again, would they pick their own cotton?
Wow.
The answer we get is yes. But, you know, I've been in other parts of the world. I was in Egypt one time, and we had some young African-American males that went out into the marketplace, and they came back complaining that their peers, you know, young Egyptians their age, would greet them, "What's up, my niggas?"
Whoa.
All the way over there. So that's the way the world look at, you know, blacks, especially black Americans. And, you know, blacks take on the position of being people that's dependent on others, especially whites. And I just, you know, just do a little test yourself. And just along that particular point, ask some questions. You know, and just look, I mean, when you leave where you are and go buy gasoline, who are you buying the gas from? It's not no blacks that's controlling the gasoline stations in your community.
Right.
And how
right.
about the food? And who's teaching your children? Or who controls what they're being taught?
Okay.
So you have other ethnic groups that come here and look at us, look at blacks as a whole, their economic position as far as wealth is concerned, education is concerned, and the amount of assistance that they receive. So, you know, other ethnic groups look at that and they make mockery of it. Other ethnic groups come here to get jobs, start businesses. The Asians have a household income that's greater than white Americans. And so you can understand what I'm talking about. And now here's the point. Your leaders keep many of our so-called leaders, I ain't saying your leaders, but many of our so-called leaders, organizations, and groups, keep doing, implementing policies and leading in a direction that continue to keep us in that position. Look at, well, for instance, NAACP is against schools of choice. They want to keep you tied up in a public school system, which some schools are good, many are bad. But if parents, black parents don't want that, then who are they to tell black parents that that's what they need to have? So what's your comments on that?
I mean, basically, like as my co-host was saying, Dilla, basically, man, that to me, that goes all the way back to that whole Willie Lynch programming, you know, and we still see the effects of it today. And like you said, black people, we are dependent, you know what I'm saying? And that was one part of that programming of making us dependent, you know what I'm saying? Once they took the black man, to me, out of the household, that's when we became a dependent, you know, people. Because in Africa, the man is the person that brings home, you know, that brings home the riches, the bacon, you know what I'm saying, for his family to eat. And now women got to do it. And a lot of women now of today, black women, are very dependent on the government. You know what I'm saying? They get this public aid. They get the link card. You know what I'm saying? And they're not scared to put their kids up into the white man's school for, you know, for them to be even more dependent on them. So I understand where you're coming from with other races making a mockery of us and laughing at us because, I mean, we are the only people who keep on going in the same circle doing that over and over. So, yeah, I definitely understand where you're coming from. But, I mean, all of that is a part of the Willie Lynch programming thing. I mean, if you can agree with me.
Right.
Well, yeah, I understand. Did the other fellow have something to say?
Well, what I was going to – I don't know. Is my phone a little bit better now? Can y'all guys hear me?
Yeah, you good.
Okay. All right, well, basically, I really don't know. I know about the NCAACP. I know a little bit about it, but I haven't done no too much of homework to elaborate on them. And from what you're saying, it's kind of like taking away our amendments. It seems like if you don't go to these public schools, they're not getting this kind of funding. I don't know as far as if they get the funding or they get a certain, you know, some kind of stipend if they keep the kids in the public schools. I don't know how that I call it the business, the operation rolls, you know, with it. But I just really feel like you were saying too, us black people, you know what I'm saying, we don't have that voice like we think that we have, or we don't have that movement like we think that we have. Like, for instance, one person was saying, and just to get off on just a little bit, was saying, why do we have to vote? You know what I'm saying? What is it that's going to, you know, if we only supposed to go to work, like you said, Big Cotton, why do our voice count? You know what I'm saying? Why is it going to count when there's not nothing there to really open up the microphone? If I can't say nothing, how come why my vote count? You know, I just think it's just a demographic movement, you know what I'm saying, for the people to know where you at. You know, if you go vote, okay, yeah, this person, he's still alive, or yeah, this person, okay, he's voting over here, so this is what it was. And before I let you go ahead and finish what you have to say too, I think my voter registration card had expired. From the south side, and normally I'm originally from up north, the north side, Schaumburg, Illinois area. I went to a library out that way to go register to vote because they said, you could go vote pretty much anywhere, but they really want you to vote in your area. But I wanted to go try to vote. I didn't have my card with me, but I had my IDs. Don't you know they still gave me a hard time? They still told me, okay, well, you know, and all these people, man, you know, the Caucasians, everybody was just looking at me like, wow, I don't even know why he over here anyway. So that was another bad experience. But, yeah, man, I see what you're saying. You know, I really can't really elaborate on the NCAACP too tough because I haven't did my homework on them. But just going off of what you're saying, I think that's wrong, you know.
Well, you know, as far as the school, what I was getting at is that when black parents – And you know, other parents too, but I'm just talking about black people right now. When they are polled or surveyed, overwhelmingly, you know, in the 70-75 percentile, they say that they want school choice, where they can put their children in a environment, in a building, in an institution, where they can get the best of their education. Now, some still want to keep theirs in public schools. Some want charter. Many want vouchers so they can put their children in, you know, the schools of their choice. But you got these organizations, like I mentioned, NAACP, which is being influenced heavily by teachers' union, that comes out and works against any such programs. So that there, I think, that there I know is totally wrong.
Right.
It's totally wrong. Because no one institution is going to be able to cover all the necessary things, be able to expose your child to all the things that they need to compete in the world.
And it's getting rapid right now. I mean, just doing these the elementary kids, just to sit down with them and do their homework now, the academics is just rising. You know, just as far as just trying to keep up with studies, it's like they already on high school level, almost prepped to go to college already, and started from the 4th to 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. You know, so there was another person that had raised this question up to me too. I think it was our last show that we talked about when we were saying that they're like, how can we get taught the way that we get taught when now you got teachers now are the age of 26 years old, 27 years old, 24 years old, and they've been taught through stuff that was through the internet. They've been taught through some of the stuff that, you know, African American history, the cultures, you know, when they should have some of the teachers that are retired from the 60s and 70s, you know, just to come in, you know, or whatever, and have some kind of program for them. Because I'm sure like some of their retirement pensions is not really, you know, as big as the ones that's retiring of today. You know, bring them back some, you know, if they are able to do it, so they could teach, you know, these schools or whatever the case may be. And it's kind of hard, you know.
And then when you have only 40%, check this out now, you're talking about the stereotype. When you have, it's so predominantly known that inner city schools are failing. You have some school, for instance, like in Chicago, only 40% of the children that enter the 9th grade graduate. All right, so you a black person, you go someplace and put in and say, well, I graduated from a Chicago public school. Well, right then and there, they have been conditioned and have been told how terrible the schools are and that only 40% graduate from the school. And if you have an A in inner city school and you go to a private school, that A all of a sudden is equivalent to like a D or maybe a C. So that's a stereotype that you have to deal with based on the fact where you're coming from. And then you complicate that when parents say, well, I don't want no more of this. I want this for my children. Then you have these organizations and some of these other spokespersons who the system go to all the time to correct the problems. And they say, well, no, you don't need that. This is what you need. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So,
yeah, man.
Me personally, like I was saying, I don't know if you know, I call or know about the whole Willie Lynch program and thing, you know what I'm saying? But to me, man, I really just think inside the black culture in America that we have very weak-ass, I'm going to be real, weak-ass individuals that's trying to lead us. That's number one. You know what I'm saying? We have very weak-ass individuals trying to lead us, the NAACP, whatever their names is. A lot of them people up there is weak and they powerless on the things that's going on, you know what I'm saying, that's going on inside of our community. Because if they were strong about them, these would be the things that, you know, will be presented on the surface. But like you were saying earlier, we thinking about things that really don't matter. And, I mean, I understand what he said. Why do we need, you know what I'm saying, race relations? I mean, we can't even get along with ourselves. And basically, just put it like this. Let's say if white people just vanished and black people was just in America, I mean, how would we survive? There would be no way for us to survive because nobody would trade anything with us because of how they see us already. You know what I'm saying? How they see us presented on the surface anyway. And he said 40% of black kids don't graduate. Is that what you said?
In the Chicago public schools.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been
like that for, you know what I'm saying, a very long time. And it's only going to get worse and worse and worse because, really, if you think about it, and I'm not promoting this to anybody, but technically you don't really need school. I mean, basically, if they was just teaching you how to read, spell, and do math and things like that, most of the other stuff is basically pseudo bullshit. Like, you know, the history, you know what I'm saying, to the science. I feel like this. How are you going to teach a kid about history and science if you don't even know your damn self? It's just a way of you programming them to think, you know, the way that you want them to think. You know what I'm saying? That might be a
little
bit off.
Well, you know, there's a difference between education and skills. Now, the education is something that you should have attained by the sixth grade, but skills, that's going to take you into other areas of profession. I mean, even if it's baseball player or basketball, those are skills. And science is just behind it. But no, the skills is what we're not being exposed to. Like, for instance, in India. India, back in the 1940s, started information technology schools. Now, when you pick up a phone and call customer service, more than likely the phone was going to ring where? In India.
Right.
Well, they started planning on that. They started taking numbers of their people, population, and training them for that. And today, they're one of the leading countries that provide that service. Well, the same thing can happen in the African-American community. I mean, there's all sorts of things. These are UAV, these unmanned aerial vehicles, drones. There's going to be a tremendous need for people that knows how to operate those. So why come that's not being taught in our communities? Why come that's not being taught in the special high school? And not only that, but other things too. Emergency medical technician. That way we can demand and control those firefighters and ambulance driving jobs in our own community.
Look, I just think on the surface that they don't want a lot of black people to have them type of jobs. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I kind of feel like me personally, I feel that we need to start as a culture doing things for ourselves, and that's why people look at us the way that, you know, they look at us. There's a lot of black people with skills out here, you know, in the money, in the power to open up schools, trade schools for their people and everything like that. I just think everything has an agenda behind it, and, you know, everything has
an
agenda.
And why come you weren't left with something to build off of? You're a young person. The previous older generation didn't leave you with anything to build off of. There's no stores. There's no means of finance. Hell, you got Somali refugees that come here from Somalia, East Africa, up in Minnesota. They open up their own banks, best based on Islam, Sharia banks, where they don't charge any interest for business loans and home mortgages. So why come blacks haven't been able to accomplish something along those lines? Why come it's not even being taught?
Black, we see that's one thing I always scream on this show, man, is black people, we lack that culture, man. We lack culture right now. Black people, we don't have. I mean, you see we running around calling each other African-American and black and stuff like that. We lack a culture. You know what I'm saying? We just adapted to American culture. If you really look at it, black people, to me, are nothing but white Caucasians right now because, I mean, we don't have anything. We don't have anything at all. We don't have no culture. Everybody has a different religion. We don't practice our, you know, religions together. We don't, you know, keep our money in our communities. So we have no culture. We're not worried about each other. You know what I'm saying? Most black people is just worried about themselves and their family. So, I mean, that's why you get the they didn't leave anything behind because they didn't have that culture to base upon to say, okay, well, I need to leave something behind for my people.
Well, I like the fact that what you said, man, with Forrest leaving something behind or the lack of culture. Now, my thing is, you know, like the Somalians or other people, you know that they gave them stipends, you know, saying to come over here. From I'm just going off of what I have heard. I haven't physically seen it. I heard about it. You know that they give them so much money to come and live over here with us. To start up these businesses and to do what they need to do to keep us down. Now, when you said that the African American is not keeping the money inside of the community, yeah, they are. You know, so some of them are milking out whatever it is. If you look at it like these grants, these government loans, stuff that was being brought in to do these learning centers and whatnot. Think about it. When you get too much power, what's going to happen? They start coming around. They want to know what it is that they're building. Are we scared now? What is it that we're doing to where it's, okay, they're not going to need us no more. They're not going to depend on us no more. They're not going to do this no more. And then when you get the politics to get the money that can help us to do what they do, they take it and use it for their own personal benefits. You know, and I mean, and it's like you can't really, I seem like it's almost every politic that you even think about. You know, the ones that don't have a voice are the ones that are trying to get on, but they don't have enough economical growth, or they don't have enough money to even push out, you know, to say, okay, I'm going to do it this way when I get in office. I'm going to do it this way when I do this. I'm going to do it this way when I do that. But when you get into office, it already seems like it's already programmed for you. Okay, here are your do's and don'ts. These are your guidelines. Okay, no, okay, this is your ward. You got to do this ward. Okay, unless they come and move in this ward. Okay, well, they can't move in this ward because rent is already $1,200 for a one-bedroom kitchenette, you know. And it's like, come on, man, it don't really make no sense to really have this type of rules and regulations and restraints against us when we can't go knock on these black billionaire doors. The NBA, you know, the black people that's in the NBA or the NFL, we have relatives right now that's in the NBA and the NFL that's playing right now. Don't even look our way. You know, we cool with them, you know, but don't look our way. And I don't hate that, you know, because they don't know us. I feel like the person that put them through school, the person that coached them to get to where they at now, should always reap the benefits off of it because that's what, you know, they put them through that. You know, they helped them food, clothing, and shelter, gave them that. But the thing was what Dr. Umar Johnson was saying, when you take that away from us, food, clothes, and shelter, what do black people have? Like you said, in Minnesota, the Somalians, they doing their thing. They keep it in there. One thing about the thing we watching Hidden Colors 2, the Koreans, the guy, the African American,
yeah, Koreans
said,
are doing it.
You see what I'm saying? The African American said to the Koreans, you know, hey man, we'll knock your stuff down. I believe it was like 16% or whatever. So you know that way we say you saving 16% extra on top of what you already making off of whatever. They turned it down. It's like no. They're like, man, why not? You don't make money.
But real
they
quick, why?
About the money.
No, it ain't even really about to me. It ain't even really about the money, man. They want to keep the money in their community because they don't want to see their culture going bad. And black people, we don't care. We don't have any culture to even say that, like, man, I'm going to go to a black store and buy this because, you know, my people need to keep, you know, they might want to open another store somewhere or do something. Like, we don't really care, man. We too busy trying to be like other people and be like other cultures, you know what I'm saying? If you really look around, you see black people, you know, most of them, they'll either go to a Chinese restaurant to go get their food or they'll go to a white man's store to get their food or whatever. But when you open a black store around the corner, you know, you'll have some black people that shop there, but they ain't keeping that money, you know, consistently going up in there to that black store.
Man,
well, you know, another thing, too.
Go ahead.
Blacks, see, Asians, you can't go buy stuff wholesale from Asians, then try to have your own store selling at retail. Simple reason, Asians is never going to give you family prices where you can open up a store and compete against their cousins who's already selling that in your neighborhood.
Right.
They are not going to do that. And Asians don't buy from blacks.
Yep.
I mean, that's like it's just like a omen with them. They don't buy from black folks. They are very concentrated, and they try to keep their wealth amongst themselves. And we all know the Chinatowns and Korean towns. Man, you're talking about Koreans. The Koreans in the tri-state area, they control the produce market. They can control the retail of produce in New York and Flushing's, and they have farms here where they grow the produce. Blacks have to grow, they have to produce and manufacture the things that they're talking about selling and the things that they consume. Because you're not going to be able to buy this stuff wholesale from them immigrants and think that they're going
to
give you price.
My question to you is, okay, if we grow, I mean, if black people not buying it from black people, I mean, who are black people going to sell to? I mean, I know
that. Well, you know how that starts? That starts in your school. You got to have control over your school. Well, let me ask you something. What school you know where it's teaching black children to buy from black people?
None.
All right. That right there is a good start. We need to start teaching that in our school. And that's the whole thing about schools of choice, because they ain't going to let you teach that in no public school because they're going to say you're teaching hate. Well, hell, what's more hateful than not shopping with your own, shopping with somebody else all the time?
Exactly. Exactly. But see, that's another thing real quick. Let me say this real quick. You said in school they don't teach that. Funny thing is, when I went to school, I don't know if they still have it, and they might still have it. They had bilingual classes where they had the Asians all in one class together. They had all the Spanish people in one class together, and the black people, we was mixed in with the white people, and you know what I'm saying? That's the funny thing when you said that they'll say, okay, that's hate, but yet they inside a bilingual class speaking a language, learning a, you know what I'm saying, cultural values. And so this is inside of an American school. But when black people go to do it, that's why I'm saying there isn't another agenda there. And black people, we just do not get that, what that is. You know what I'm saying? As a unit, we do not get what that is. So we're going to keep
right.
on. We just say, okay, let's live life the way it is.
But you know what? If blacks, if for instance, in your community, I'm gonna say your school. If blacks in your school tried to do something like that for black children, you know who would come speak out against it? Them bourgeois blacks would be the ones be speaking out against it. Oh,
yeah.
We need to integrate. We don't need to have our own separate stuff. And you know, this stuff. If you got something, first of all, you can't. If you're receiving public dollars, you can't keep nobody else from coming in your school. People don't come in your school because they don't want to. But if you had a top-notch, world-class institution, people would be standing outside trying to get in there, whiting everybody else. I'm telling you.
But if you do that, like you said, people, you're going to have the bourgeois black people, as you said, strike down. I mean, let's just think about it. If a person went to, you know, somebody like Oprah, and Oprah decided to say, okay, I'm going to open an all-black institution, an academy, you know, where black people can go learn how to produce they own stuff like, you know, grow vegetables, you know what I'm saying, do business deals and things like that. Of course, you're going to have people, oh, well, she's racist, and she's against white America. You know what I'm saying? They're like black people voted for Obama. They swear to God that black people are responsible for having this man up in office, and we all know that's bullshit. So
yeah.
On TV, the first thing they say, oh, we're losing our country. Who the hell are you losing your country to when you know what I'm saying, white people is the, you know, highest people over here. And a lot of Mexicans didn't vote for Barack Obama. A lot of Mexicans can't even vote because they illegal over here. So, I mean, let's be real. That's what I'm saying about the whole situation there. For black people, we just don't get it, man. There's no outlook for us. It's like the people, they scared of us. They're scared of our power. They know our culture. You know, that's funny that these people, the Asian people, the Caucasian people, the Spanish people, they know black people culture, and they know how it used to be and how we used to rule the world and run everything. And they just don't want to make that mistake of having us do that again, so they keep us stupid, and black people, we go right along with it.
Well, it's about competition. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
here's another thing. Our politics, your politics, blacks don't have no businesses. If you don't have no businesses, how are you going to be able to contribute to political campaigns? Now, individuals ain't got that kind of money. I mean, when you go to church on Sunday, the most somebody might put in the basket is $20. But individuals are not, blacks are not paying for their politics. All they do is vote. Whoever's stuck out there in front of them, somebody else is paying for the politics. And when they get elected, they're going to do the things for the people that's putting the money in their campaign baskets. So until we have businesses that viable business, I ain't talking about no barbecue and barbershops. Ain't nothing wrong with them. But look, you got to have something bigger going on than that in order to be able to pay for your own politics, pick and choose your own politicians, give them their marching orders, pay for their campaign, and send them to the state house or the Congress, and they supposed to react on your behalf. If they don't, then get their butts out of there.
That would seem to me like that type of, I think us taking that route, you know, with the politicians and stuff like that, I don't think that's really going to work for us. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's going to work for us, because you're always going to have the people with the money, which is, you know, the Jewish people, the hidden people that play in the back, the billionaire, is always going to be controlling them. I mean, let's look at the Jesse Jackson Jr. situation. You know what I'm saying? Now, I know from looking at the situation, that man took a fall for somebody. It was something just not right about that whole situation. You're going to come out and admit, yeah, I was stealing money. Y'all caught me red. Nah, I believe, you know, it was something more behind that. And, I mean, the man was doing a lot of good work. If you really look at his whole, you know, resume, he was doing a lot of good work. So who's to say in a couple more years that people weren't going to vote him into office? They want people inside that office which they can control. They want black people inside there that's going to be able to be controlled. You know what I'm saying? So if you really look, a lot of black politicians, man, they get in a lot of trouble inside of that game because they don't want to play the game that, you know, that they're presenting on the surface. So to me, politicians is a game, and it's a game not for black people. I think in order for us to get together in a community, man, we have to come together and we have to reclaim our culture. We got to know, you know what I'm saying, who we are, how we used to think, and things like that. We got to stop separating ourselves from our country. I mean, well, we got to stop separating ourselves from Africa and really look at them. Because if you look, Nigeria is rich as hell. Nigeria is like, it's like the third richest country in the world or the second richest country.
Well, it ain't the third or second, but it's going to be the third largest population in the world pretty soon.
Okay, yeah, and they from what I hear, like, man, they got billionaires over there. You know what I'm saying? And how,
they got more billionaires than we have here in black America, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so my whole thing is we have all of these African billionaires around the world, but what are they doing? I mean, Africa is still fucked up. It's still messed up the way that it is, you know what I'm saying? And my whole thing is like, what are they doing? And you look, they're being controlled
Africa,
by certain people.
Africa is growing and is leaking. Africa is gonna be the one that's gonna come on the scene next. You got India and China. Then you're gonna have Africa that's gonna come on. I mean we won't be living then, but it's working its way there now.
It won't be no black people controlling it though.
No, yeah, they'll be controlled. See another 35 years, white population on the world would be down in single digits.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be controlling anything. It's going to be the main. And then here's another thing. I don't know you in Chicago, right?
Yeah, we're in Chicago.
Well, you know, I'm in St. Louis. North St. Louis is like is just vacant lots, like Detroit. You know who's going to come occupy them spaces? The Chinese, the Syrians, these people that's going through these civil wars now, they're going to bring them immigrants here, and they're going to be they're going to occupy these vacant lots, build homes and things for their own. That's going to happen. Here in St. Louis, in South St. Louis, first they brought in 30,000 Bosnians. Mm-hmm. Then a couple of years later, they brought in another 50,000. They had 80,000 Bosnian immigrants in South St. Louis. And, brother, ain't none of them out of job. They all working.
Yeah. But check this out. Wait, let me go. I want to rewind back. Like, did you know in Africa right now that China, Russia, like, they buying up land over there. They building cities. You can go look this up on Google. They have the pictures of the cities. These people got malls up in there. But that is not for black people, though, because there is nobody living in them cities right now. The houses are done.
That's in Angola.
They completely did.
That's in Angola.
It's a couple more places where they're doing this, too, around Africa. I think a part of Senegal. Man, they just doing it because they already know what's going on. I'm telling you, they trying to get them people out of there. If you look in Nubia, it's really not even like a lot of black Nubians left anymore because they fucking with the water over there. You know what I'm saying? They trying to get them people to die off. They tearing down pyramids. They fucking up historical monuments that's over there. They taking them away. The Chinese doing this, buying all of this land.
Now, you can't buy no land like you do in America. You can't never own land in Africa. You can lease it for about 50 years. But I would rather do business with Chinese than I would them Europeans. Hell, you've been doing business with Europeans for 500 years. What you got to show for it? Chinese will come in and say, look, we'll build you roads. We'll put in railroads. We want we want this amount of land where we can grow this amount of crops for the cost of what we put in.
Oh.
And that's what they're doing.
But see, this is the whole thing about that. Now, you have to start to think. They not fucking with the Chinese, right? They not, America's not fucking with the Chinese. But they went and fucked with Gaddafi. Like, they shook this man's hand, Obama. This is a picture of him shaking this man's hand in, what, 2011? Like, he's shaking his man hand all buddy-buddy with him. Then they swapped his ass up out of there because he was getting ready to change everything. He was going to unite the Middle East with Africa and change everything, the currency to gold and things like that. You know what I'm saying? You have to think about things like that. How come China get to come in and buy up a bunch of shit and do business over there, but then as soon as the Arab or somebody that's going to come in and just change up shit and put in, as you were saying, like train stations and everything, because Gaddafi had a plan to put in the train stations all around, you know what I'm saying, Africa, to run through the whole continent of Africa to get people from Middle East to Africa and everything. They wasn't feeling that type of shit because these people, to me, the whole people who's controlling the ball game, they know if that happens, then they can't really touch it because America don't really have any gold like that. So they can't be going in there buying minerals and all of that. They have to keep everything in cash, and that's what that was about. And that's what the Chinese is doing. They're going over buying everything. And I think their currency is like, what, yen?
Yeah. Well, their currency is yen, but it would have to be converted over to the local currency. But believe me, the Chinese is a whole lot better to work with than the European countries. Just look at France and her former colonies like Cote d'Ivoire, Cameroon, Mali, Nigeria, and so on and so on and so on. France is just despicable in some of the things that it do.
I hate to be in them
old countries. They control the country's currency, and they need to sever themselves. And see, here's another point. The United States and them create these insurgent groups, these Islamists. They created the Al-Qaeda's. They supported the Taliban. So they and the same groups that went into Basra that was coming down onto Libya were the same groups that was fighting the U.S. in Iraq. And the same spill-off that's in Mali.
Yeah,
you got the Islamists and you got the Tuaregs. The Tuaregs been there for thousands of years. The Tuaregs is not going to go and destroy the temples there in Timbuktu because they know that those are their people. But these Islamics, man, that comes from over the Middle East, they don't give a damn about no black folks.
Yeah, they've been shooting down monuments over there. That's why I'm saying is like how all of a sudden, man, I'm telling you, to me, Obama was put in there, man, so they can go. Because how the fuck is this war from the Middle East spilling over into Africa all of a sudden? Like, where does this shit happen at? You know,
but you see what's happening? It's China. It's France. Like France president, I think his name is Holland, said that French businesses must become more aggressive in Mali. Well, what they want to do is control. They want French companies to control the resources so that they can sell them to Chinese. The same thing that you got United States and Uganda with Soros. Soros want to pull out the resources so he can sell them to the Chinese. That's what this stuff is all about.
Man,
real quick, before y'all guys keep on going, let me take a couple of commercial breaks, man, then we're going to come back, okay?
Okay.
So don't go nowhere, fellas. Right, let me do this real quick. Man, it's getting pretty deep here. Why? I'm going to take a quick commercial, then we're going to come on back. We'll take some more calls.
Tune in to the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westcityworld1.com.
Okay.
Hey, you, yeah, you. Are you bored? Are you just lonely? Are you just surfing the web or
just on your Android phone, not doing nothing? Well, check it out. Look no further. Log on to www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. And check out some of the hottest unsigned artists from all over the world. Again, that's www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. Check them out. Log on. Let's go. Look and see what it is. You're not doing nothing. Get online. Look at that again. WesternWorld1.com. Let's go. We out.
Let's go.
Peace.
Let's go.
Peace.
All right. Yeah, we back in the conversation, man, with Sleeping Case. And we got a brother online from St. Louis, you know, that's kicking some knowledge and stuff. All right, now we're going to take another caller, and we're going to open up the roundtable. Caller,
okay,
you
we got a caller. Yeah, caller from his name is Courtney from Texas. You online, brother?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
How you gentlemen doing?
All right.
We good. I just kind of wanted to reiterate, but kind of, you know, I just feel the problem with that I've seen that with Black America is number one, kind of like the brother said a little bit. Politically, we just aren't that astute like we should be. And when it comes down to political issues, the most we do is just vote for a candidate. We don't put dollars behind them. I'm talking about real dollars behind them. We don't put money behind them. We don't have Black lobbies. We don't have any of that. We don't have any of those things, you know, because I feel that we basically allowed ourselves to be dumbed down by white liberals, you know. And I think that once we understand that, from my research and from talking to older gentlemen, once we understand it, I just feel that once we start building our own communities, I mean, I have nothing against people wanting to help out Africa and all that, but we have to focus on Black Americans for right now, you know. And like I said before, I like Dr. Umar, you know, but as far as him with the Pan-African thing, I just can't get with that because Black America is in shambles, man, and I think we got to square ourselves away, and if it takes 100 years, it takes 100 years. But we have to do that because we can't talk about helping Africa and all that stuff like that if we can't square away Black America, you know. And that's really my take on it, you know. That's how I feel. I mean, you know.
Okay. Well, let me explain to you why you have to have Pan-Africanists. And because we know that Europeans had the European unions and the Asians, you know, they got their thing going on too. You got the Brits, the Britain, you got the BRICS, you got Russia, you got India, you got South Africa, you got Brazil. They have formed a union. Black Americans have to have a central point, and you have to utilize, for instance, for Africa in order to compete with your Chinese. You have access to resources, you have access to land, you have access to a labor force that's cheap. See, I'm not talking about you got to take money and give to somebody. No, we need to use that as a business principle, just like everybody else is trying to use it as a business principle. Only thing is, you have a birthright to those things that they are trying to access. You was born with a citizenship in Liberia. You have free land, for instance, in Ghana, 30,000 hectares that's sitting there that Blacks are not taking advantage of it. That's agriculture.
Go.
You got mineral. You have affirmative action in this country. That is where if you was to manufacture and produce someplace else, you could use that affirmative action to get those products, especially in your own communities and also in the shelves, store shelves are your Kmart, your Walmart, your Targets, and so on and so on and so on. So, no, we have to look at things from a Pan-African point of view economically. Because if you try to, there's nowhere in the world we can start up a manufacturer here in the United States and compete like you could if you just started that manufacturing up over in West Africa.
There we go. That's what I was just about to say, that, man. That's that's another one of our black people, African Americans, or whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? If we don't start doing business with our own people, man, if we don't go back, it's so much stuff over there for us. You know what I'm saying? And these people are waiting for us. You know what I'm saying? They're waiting for us to come and bring that knowledge that we obtained over here, over there, because a lot of them don't have the knowledge that we have, you know what I'm saying, on doing business and moving these things. If we don't start buying stock from our own country, you know what I'm saying, and then bringing the resources over to our people ourselves, then we're going to stay in the position that we're in, because really nobody wants to do business with African-American people. Nobody wants to do business with us. I don't care how much money you have, because if that was, you know, to say that that was true, then you would have people like Oprah and things like that doing business with Korean people, with China. Nobody wants to, because we don't do anything for our own people. If, like he said, if the French and the Germans can go over there and get all of these resources and come out on top, why can't we do that? That's our country. By right, that's our country. You know what I'm saying? This is not our country. If you really look on TV, after Obama won, what was the white people saying? We're losing our country. They don't see this as our country, and they never will see this as our country, and they never going to give us the upper hand to win anything out of this country at all.
No, whites is never going to, and I'm going to tell you something, I don't blame them. I wouldn't either. I mean, just think about it. This isn't about get along. This ain't nothing about love. This ain't nothing about holding hands and singing. This is about competition for wealth.
Yeah.
That is what it is about. You know, if somebody call you a nigger, that ain't going to hurt you. It's about competition. Anybody would do it to distract you. And like I said before, you have trade agreements called the African Growth and Opportunity Act, where you can produce in West Africa and bring back to the United States and don't pay a tariff or a duty on. Blacks would never get reparations because we are asking for reparation from a weak position. If we had something that we could leverage, you can get all the reparations you want. I got what you want. You got what I need.
We got to start reclaiming shit, man. That's the problem. We don't want to reclaim. We think we're going to start from the bottom with just a couple pennies, man. No, we have to reclaim what's owed to us. You know what I'm saying?
Let me give you another example. Your public schools, your children are used as a commodity. Let me show you how it works. Head Start, for lunch, they got prepared food, milk. They always got the milk. They're serving you the cheap. They are serving you. The U.S. agriculture industry is making money off of our children. Head Start, and also through Title I, through those lunches, free and reduced lunches. Now, who's providing that food? You got a company called Sodexo and Aramac. Sodexo is from France, and Aramac is from the U.K., I believe. But look, when I came up in school, you had black women in the cafeteria cooking. The food that was being cooked was grown locally. Look at your cities like Mississippi and Jackson, Mississippi. The state of Mississippi, where 37% of the population is black. Those are economic markets that we should control. Louisiana, South Carolina, Alabama. You see what I'm talking about? You got those large populations of black people in those communities, and we don't – blacks, food stamps, and I ain't – you know, people need the help. They need help. But food stamps is nothing but cash flow. What blacks are taking advantage of the cash flow that goes into blacks' hands with those food stamp cards?
None.
We don't own any grocery stores. So that's what I'm talking about. Yes, you have to have – a sense of pan-Africanness. It has to be taught with the children. That way they will grow up and they will. You can expect for them to do the right thing.
Well, here's the whole thing to me. And, I mean, if you look at it, you know, conservative estimates say by 2015, there'll be over $1 trillion flowing through our community. So there's money there. That's why, I mean, like I said, we just have a difference of opinion on that. You know, and I mean, like I said before, I have nothing against Africans. I have nothing against Africa. But like I said before, to me, it has to start at a smaller level, and it has to start at more of a grassroots level. You know, I mean, and that's just my take on it. You know, I mean, and you know, I see that to be effective.
But the simple fact is that that's how anything grows. That's what Malcolm X said. It starts at the grassroots, you know. I mean, and like I said before, Pan-Africa is, I mean, like I said before, I like Dr. Umar, but when it comes to that portion, I got to disagree on that, you know. I mean, like I said, you
brother. Well, let me ask you another question. You talk about blacks need to support black businesses. Let me give you an example. And another thing, countries are not ranked by what they spend. They're ranked by what they produce and manufacture. So $1 trillion don't mean anything, especially if you're working for somebody else, because they get a hint that you're doing something for yourself, they just fire you. Then where you at? But let me give you an example. Suppose you had a black business that was selling chicken dinners. How do you support that business? Well, you don't support going in there and sitting down buying chicken dinners is not supporting that business, not supporting that black business. What's supporting that black business is when you grow the chickens, when you process the chickens, when you warehouse the chicken, and when you transport the chicken and distribute it. That's supporting the black business. Then, if you have an Asian down the street that's going to sell chicken wings, he's going to buy the chicken wings from you. You don't care about that. But if you control that market from the grassroots, like you just got through talking about, from the production to the point to where you're selling and people eating it, that's what you call power. Now, blacks have had those things here in this country before. They had a bus company in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, during the time that they had the Montgomery bus boycotts going on in Alabama.
Yeah,
that bus company, yeah, that bus company was called the Safe Bus Company. It finally went out of business in the 1970s. It started like in the 1920s. A black bus company had over 500 buses, was so efficient that the whites could not even compete with it, but they did service whites. Whites rode the buses too. So you have to ask yourself, we was begging and asking to ride on the front of the bus in Montgomery, Alabama, when we had bus company in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We should have went over there and said, hey, how can we do that here?
Mm-hmm. I just think that virtually, like, when the only reason why, you know, Umar, he definitely was a Pan-African because, you know, his relatives was, you know, Forrest was Pan-African. Marcus Garvey was his perfect, you know what I'm saying? That was his mentor. And what Marcus Garvey had did is just the same way as what you're saying now, stuff that he was doing. But it was just people from the inside, our own black people that was from the inside. Even when you look at it now with the FBI, the little FBI black dude, when he's talking about how they bombed that school, when that school was like nothing but arts, with nothing but music teachers and musicians, and they bombed that school, it was a black person that went in there and did it. So it's like it's almost to the point to where we so scared of even trying to grow, because who can you trust? Some people got to get, like, when you go back to the churches, you got to get an armor bearer to make sure that they got to trust you to make sure that they could drink out that cup. You know, it's like who can we trust that we lay down with? Even if you grow the chicken from the grass up on end, now you got after a while you're going to be making so much money, you're going to have to start hiring people. And once you start hiring people, you know, somebody on the inside going to be feeling like, hey man, he's making more money than me. He's growing this with me, and he's not looking for the growth.
You fire their ass if they're doing some stuff like that. I own my own business is what I've done if some people wouldn't act the way they should.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I've done for a living?
Mm-hmm.
You know the buildings that fell down in New York on 9/11? I used to put buildings up like that. I own my own company doing that, doing steel erection. Probably the only black in the Midwest that done something like that. So, yes, we have the talents and the skills to do the things that we need to do. We just need to go ahead and do them. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Because things are going to get real, real bad here in the United States coming up here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. It's already happening. You know, and the question to you, man, since you did, do you that me and Case, we were just talking about that, how that iron was burning, how it was more so melting.
It was melting. So it wasn't on. It didn't come down from building. Matter of fact, the brother you mentioned, Schomburg, there's a recreation center in Schomburg that I erected back in 1973.
Oh,
Schomburg, I don't know exactly the street, but it's like a recreation building. I don't know. It may not even be standing. But that was during the time when they was putting up Sears Tower. But, no, that building fell down from demolition. It didn't fall down from
See, that's another thing. You see, that's another way of saying that. But you know, I just want everybody to understand, man. You know, everybody's teach their own with it. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has their own views on it. So it's like, it's not like it's okay. We lashing or whatever. You know, with Umar Johnson, I love to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he really do some things, and also he did say some things too that I didn't like, that I didn't set well with, but. Majority of, I say 86% of what he was saying was definitely true. And if you took some of, that's one thing about us, man, a great follower, you know, you got to be able to be a great leader, you got to be a great follower. And that's how we got our own uniqueness, our own creativity, because we got to take and learn from who we want to be like, what we want to do, and use it to our own creativity. That's what's going to make you grow. That's what's going to keep your passion going for what you love doing, because your views might be the same thing as my views, but you might see it in a different color. I might see it in a different angle.
My hair is silver, and I'm telling you, see, when I see you going the wrong direction, I'm supposed to tell you, no, you don't want to
exactly.
go that way.
Exactly, yes.
See, I don't want you to be going down a street, and when you get down in the street, it's a dead end. But look at all the time and energy and resources that you have wasted. I'm supposed to share with you the experiences that I have had over decades from being successful and watching other things go around us that was in the wrong, total wrong direction. And I'm here to tell you that we will not get the type of economic empowerment that we need just working here in the United States. It's not going to happen. One thing, things cost too damn much here in the U.S. A bell pepper is not supposed to cost $1.19. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have to use your leverage. Michael Jordan had skills that other people didn't have. So you think that when it came time for him to shoot a three-pointer, he stepped back 10 feet in order to even the playing field? No, he stepped up.
Right.
You know, like this crazy stuff that they talk about. Let's close the gap between blacks and whites. That is the most stupidest thing you ever heard of in your life. if the Bulls was losing at 2 minutes left in the game, well, Phil Jackson wouldn't huddle the team and say, let's close the gap. No, they want to win. So that's what we should be not only telling our children, but we should be giving them the necessary tools where they can win. Our children shouldn't be out there on the playground when they come out to trial for football team playing with damn tires.
Wow.
You know, when you got other technology out there that they could be utilizing in order to perfect them to the best. Not only that, why come all our children playing basketball and football? There's baseball, there's tennis, there's lacrosse. All these other things offer scholarships and money. So we need to be there competing against those things.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes,
just
sir.
For the brother with that said, you know, with the Pan-African thing. Here's the whole thing. If you look at Jewish people, where do their money come from? Israel. Where do their money go to? Israel. If you look at right America, where do their money come from? More than likely, Britain. You know what I'm saying? That's why you got the IRS and everything. You know what I'm saying? That ain't even a United States thing. You know, the IRS don't belong to the United States. That's for them to pay back Britain all the money that they owe them. If you look at the Koreans that's in our community, what do their money go back to? If you look at the Mexicans in our community when they open stores, what do their money go back to? It goes back to their countries. We don't have a country. We have a big-ass giant continent that everybody is stealing out of that's giving them their jump start to do what they want to do to us. You know what I'm saying? Jewish people over there, you got Asian people over there, but we the only ones that don't, we don't have our own country. You can't say America is a black man country because it's just not. And we not claiming Africa to be our country. So this is why I think that black people are still inside of this hole, because we don't have nobody to run to get a loan from on that level. You have all, like Oprah, Jay-Z, these directors out here, and none of them is putting that money back into the community, and they're not going to put the money back into the community because they know if they cross the lines of throwing that money back into the community as a whole like that, they're going to lose their spot. So I think some black person got to get smart, man. They got some money. Go over there to Africa, open up some businesses, then bring that stuff back over
yeah.
here, you know what I'm saying, to us. Because that's
work in conjunction with the brother. Like he said, he don't have no interest, but he has. I know you got interest in controlling the businesses in your own community. So we can manufacture over there, and so you can and sell to you wholesale cheaper than what you can get from other countries. And that will help you to exist.
Let me say, well, there's one thing that we control, and that is number one, you know, like I said, the Asians are controlling the hair care market. Well, I don't know if y'all know, but Madam C.J. Walker's hair stuff is still out, and it mm-hmm. only costs $175 to even get in, to even become a, you know, kind of like an agent, you know, basically running your own business. So, you know, there's things out there. It's just a matter of if it's something that they want to do, you know. And, I mean, like I said before, it's going to take time, you know. I understand that. But, I mean, I just feel in my heart that the Pan-African route at this time is not the route. Like I said before, you know, it's just not the answer right now, because for the most part, you know, hell, the one thing wrong with black folks, Africans and black Americans, is that we just have a problem not trusting each other. We don't
True.
Trust each other. We don't, you know, I remember when I was in the Army and I met some brothers from Africa, man, we connected, so it was ridiculous, man, you know. But one brother, he spoke to him, he said, "How you doing, brother?" And the other brother said, "Don't ever call me your brother. I'm not your brother. You sold us and slave." I mean, this brother harbored that beef from years ago, you know, and there are many blacks who are still mad about that, man. So that's why I say, you know.
Well, you know, December the 20th, I went to God and married me a Ghanaian woman.
Okay.
So I'm telling you what I'm going to do. My daughter has a Ghanaian fiance there in Ghana. And my grandson, 15, I told him where he's going to find his next wife. So I have had nothing but good experiences. And there's about 5,000 black Americans that's over in that country that's doing business, from building homes. One brother bought 16 acres of land on the beach. 16
mm-hmm.
acres. We built a two-bedroom chalet for the building, the house, and the land was about $44,000. Now, where are you going to do that in America?
No,
on the beach.
Nowhere.
White sand beach.
Wow.
But if you got $1,000 a month, that'd be like living in, well, in here we call it Ladue. You would have a maid, chauffeur, and gardener. The Bank of Ghana paid 23% interest on treasury bills.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that in America. So just from that standpoint, man, I'm going.
Like, and another thing, like, the minerals and everything that's coming over there, man, do you know, like, the chips that's inside cell phones, they use from the minerals of Africa to make that? And, I mean, you got Korean people, you got European people, they getting new minerals, they making these cell phones, and black people, we go out and buy them. I mean, why nobody ain't got smart in our community to go over there and do business with them people? And I know what you're saying about a lot of Africans and a lot of black people don't trust. And, I mean, we got to stop that distinguishing each other from each other like they African, we black, man. That's just not true, man. We wearing a label that Caucasian people put on us, African-American. No black person came up with that to call themselves an African-American. That's what white Caucasian people start calling us. And we went off of it, and we run around like it's cool and everything. No, we are Africans, no matter how you slicing and dicing in the end of the day. Yeah, I understand we got a little thing going on with the black Americans and the Nigerians and everything, that they don't like each other. But if y'all really know, them people are programmed not to mess with Americans. They are programmed. Like, you have to watch literally a video when you get off the plane to come in the United States not to deal with black people. So you can't come from over there dealing with your people, I mean, at all. You can't get over here from Ghana or anything like that. They don't want – you can do it, but they don't want you to do it, because they are – these people know the power that we have. We buy everything, but we don't buy from our own people. We the most consuming motherfuckers on this planet. You know what I'm saying? Black Friday comes. That's all you see. Think about the word, Black Friday.
Mm-hmm. Black people go out there and spend their money like crazy. Now, think if we had some cell phone companies, some tablet companies and computer companies and things like that. But we can't do that from over here, like my mans was saying. We can't do it from America for the simple reason we don't have access to the material to make these things. And then if we go to the white man and try to get the material, he going to overcharge us because he already know what we're doing.
That's right.
We going to take over the market. All we have to do, man, as a people, we got to come to some type of damn agreement, man, and realize we are Africans. That is us. No matter what we say, they sold us out. They did this, but they also apologized to us. That's why they gave us that land. They was like, we sorry. You know what I'm saying? We're going to leave this land to come. They want their people to come over there and do business. I'm not really for the whole labeling things like Pan-Africanism and all of this. No, I'm not a pan anything. I'm African. I'm black, but I'm African. At the end of the day, you know what I'm saying?
Well, Pan-African means no matter what, whether you're Jamaican, whether you in the, whether you in Fuji Islands, whether you in the, you know, African people all over the world. That's because they were the first people, especially South America, Brazil.
Well, somebody said you can't count out the South America. You got Puerto Rico, you got Dominican, you got Brazil. So And as a matter of fact, that's where the bulk majority of the slaves went, was in South America. So you can't really leave them. You really can't leave them out. And that's why I say, and a lot of black people don't even, man, I didn't know this until a couple of years ago. I had no idea that Puerto Ricans and Dominicans were half African until I got educated on that. And number one, history books are not teaching kids that because I didn't know it.
That's right.
Look at Big Pappy. That. What's that baseball player named?
Sammy Sosa.
Ortiz. David Ortiz. Big fan. He's a Dominican. And man, go on YouTube and look at the. Go on YouTube and type in Dominican against Venezuela, the two baseball teams. Look at all the Dominicans that's playing. You got Pujols, Ortiz, Alou Brothers. Man, them people are having a good time.
But see, wait, hold on. Let me tell y'all, Dominicans is, well, if y'all, you know anything about Dominican Republic, they fighting with the Haitians. You dig what I'm saying? Like,
well, yeah, you're right, because the Dominican is the white side of Haiti. Right.
These people, a lot of them don't even, I mean, some of them claim they African roots, but most of them don't. I mean, I consider them as to be Africans. I consider people like Anderson Silva from UFC from Brazil to be Africans, you know what I'm saying? That's not up to me for a person to consider themselves as being something. What I'm saying for the black people that's in America, we have no country here. This is not our country. They're never going to let you come out on top. They're never going to let you fix our community because they could do that. That shit could be done within a month time to fix the community. You dig what I'm saying? But they ain't going to do it because they need
us in
submission. They need us in submission so they can dominate over us because we the most buying motherfuckers. And they know if they give up them rights to us, it's over. That's what we got to understand. If they give them rights up to us, it is over for them. It's over. If they give us
I heard even some contract clauses. Yeah,
here's something else I want to mention is. It's good that we find men like ourselves who have a disagreement on a few things, but we can come to agree. And that's something a lot of black people don't know how to do without acting a fool. You know, the moment you bring up the black folks about the failure of Barack Obama, immediately it's an argument. And instead of people just, look, let me show you why this is this, or they show you their point of view. We can't even have good conversation, but like I said, it's good to talk to men who just, you know, man, you know, you guys are saying some things that, hey, I mean, the truth is the truth for me, man, you know, and I'll listen to anybody, you know, and that's something we have to get back to, is just being able to understand that we're not going to all agree. But
and we
got to
start telling things like it is, too.
Yeah.
Our biggest problem in this country is economics. That's what it is. These young brothers get involved in this other stuff because they ain't got nothing else to do. Human being is going to try to survive. If you don't leave your kids with something else to do, then somebody else will find something else for them. And it was more likely when you talk about our children, it's going to be something illicit, drugs and so on and so on. We don't control this economy. Why is our children? Our children are told, you know, I told some young brothers, I said, you know, ain't nothing wrong with y'all. It's these previous generations that let you down. They tell you that you ignorant and you lazy. And, you know, the brothers start crying.
Wow.
Because they have never heard anybody tell them what I told them. And I'm telling them, it's nothing wrong with our children. The problem is with these old heads.
Yeah.
That's what the problem is. The ones that's got the skills and the talents, that's been working for jobs for 40 years, they the one that's supposed to take those skills and come out and compete against the people that they're working for, hiring your own children. Why come our children don't have the type of, you know, we want to teach them Black history and stuff. Let's build some labs for them. Let's put some flight simulators so they can learn how to fly drones. I mean, these things is easy to do. Their children don't have to be suffering the way they are. That's some crazy mess.
And if they do give it to you, they're going to put it in an area where they're going to, are you already scared to go there? Because the Channel 9 News, I'm not going to even say Channel 9 News, I take that back. Any kind of news is going to broadcast towards that. Now, if you look at it, now we're in Chicago, you hear about a lot of killings on the south side of Chicago, Illinois. That's all you hear. People that I talk to in different states are like, man, I'm not coming to Chicago. Chicago is crazy. Chicago is bad everywhere. East St. Louis is horrible, you know, in certain areas. It's just my thing is they're gonna showcase where it is, where they feel like it's the most crime and where the most thing is. Man, in the west side of Chicago, there was some shootings over there. The north side of Chicago, some shootings over there. But you're not gonna get too far to the suburbs. You hear about one crime in the suburbs.
Yeah, have y'all ever heard of Capone? Have you ever heard of Capone, Dillinger, Pretty Boy Floyd? The Roaring Twenties.
Oh yeah. All of them. Yes. But you're not gonna hear these things, man. You know, back then gangsters with them, what you're saying, you gotta think about it, they took it from them because the bootlegging, the lottery, all that stuff they took from them with what they were doing on making that money and the tax invasions and what's not, you know, taking from them. But my whole point in what I'm raising is that when it comes down to the Black people, the African American people, the Pan people, whatever you want to call us, not whatever you want to call us, men, because that's what's all on the telephone right now, to the Black men, my thing is what they do to us now is what they show us, you know, like the brother from St. Louis said. He said that, you know, you got to get your people, you got to teach them, and, you know, by him having the wisdom here, you know, you gotta show that person how to go the right way. The other brother from Texas was just basically saying, you know, hey, man, you know, truth still stands that we need to stick with us. You know what I'm saying? We need to do what we need to do. On the basic thing, the case is just basically saying, was like, yeah, you know, I'm African-American people, and we do have to teach our culture. The bottom line is that how do we start? When do we start? Where do we start? How can we communicate just to even start to do this right here? Because what's going to happen is once they start seeing, what's this, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 brothers, and there's some other calls on the line, we can't get to them because we down for time. We get together, what we consider mob action. we can't get together and unite in a public facility because don't nobody really trust each other to have them come over to their house to sit down where they lay their head at, which I don't blame them. But, you know, we sit down in a public facility and we're just talking amongst men, what's going to happen? Sometimes it's like mob action. They're going to come in there. They have so many things to bend our, what they call our Bill of Rights, our amendments, to where we don't even really have them no more. You know, I tell brothers right now today, young kids right now, you know, 17, 16, 15, because my little brother is 17 and my son is 17. Well, my little brother is 18, my son is 17. I tell them right now today, learn your amendments. Learn your Bill of Rights. Every time police pull you over, have your phone camcorder on record, because that's going to be your only witness to stop them from doing whatever. You know, when you say you don't consent to searches, they're not supposed to search you. When they have things in your you can't come into the vicinity of a car. They gotta have a warrant to do that. That's why they ask you these questions. And I try to tell them, look, man, you gotta learn this stuff because it's really important to do it. Yeah, they fan it off or whatever, but I stick with them on it. I keep on constantly putting it on, say, well, to where it is now. When I walk in, I'm the nagging dad, I'm the nagging brother, because all I do is just speak knowledge, because that's what we are supposed to do. So
okay,
how can we all get together and do that, you know?
The first thing I want to say real quick is normally when Black people get together,
when we get together, man, it's normally to talk about white people. We're talking bitch and moment.
Yeah, right.
We all emotional, and you know, we that's one thing we need to stop, man. We need to just stop.
We need to stop that. That's right.
Yep.
I tell people, I say, look, I come to the meeting, but I don't want to talk nothing about white folks. We shouldn't even be comparing ourselves. If you're going to compare yourself with somebody, compare yourself with Asians. How are they doing what they're doing? That's what we need to study. Let's look at some things in our community we don't control. What does it take for us to gain control of those school lunch programs where we have black businesses hiring black people in order to take that money out of their school district? That's the thing that we need to be discussing. Talking white don't have anything to do about the proper uses of words, construction of sentences, nor proper diction. Talking white is when you have a group of black men sitting around a table talking about offshore oil well drilling, talking about sanctions and boycotts, talking about leveraged buyout. That's talking white.
Well, you know what, brother? We got about a good close to life. 4 or 5 minutes left. So what we do is on this roundtable discussion, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I want to thank the other brother for the 30 minutes that the Texas, Corey from Texas. Thank you for calling in. You know what, brother? I'm going to give you a good 30, 45 seconds. What do you want to share before we end it? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Brother from St. Louis, is he on?
Yeah, I'm still here. Well, look, we need young men. You need to challenge your elders when they come talking to you about pulling up your pants, about stop playing. You need to say, "Well, what did you leave us with?" Put them on the spot. Then y'all need to get together and start thinking about how you can control your own economy. Don't just look about taking this store, open it up, and start trying to buy something from the Chinese that they make on wholesale and sell it retail. No, how can we manufacture this ourselves? What is it that technology that's being produced here in the United States can we duplicate someplace else, then use our affirmative action and other civil rights leverage that we have in order to take some of their business?
Wow. You know what, man? That's thank you for that. That was real powerful. That was really powerful, man. I challenge you to come on every Thursday with us, man, talk with us. The knowledge that you share with us, man, we is greatly needed upon us. That we broadcast on the airways. Right now, we almost like at what 12,000 strong now. So we getting there. We only been up for about 2 months. So people are really listening to us, and that's what we want to do. We want to really educate people. You know what I'm saying? Because we do 3 days, well, Wednesday through Saturday that we are on. You know, Wednesday we got this right here, the conversation. Thursday we do the relationship hour with Pastor Mosells. Friday is hip hop night. You know that's really urban music. And then Saturday is like it's an up for grab topic. What we talked about last Saturday, we were talking about child support versus being spiteful. You know, things of those natures. And you know, how did you hear about the show too?
Well, I just looked at the title of the program.
Okay,
your subject.
Okay.
You know, your subject was on stereotypes, and it was very good points that you was making.
Oh, man, that's good, man. I want to thank you for coming on the show. And anytime, man, you welcome now. You family. So you can call in anytime you want to and talk to us about anything that we have going on, man. It's greatly needed.
Well, that's what I'm supposed to do. I just want you young brothers to know ain't nothing wrong with y'all. Don't let nobody tell you, and don't never look down or feel down on yourself. Because, you know, you came into this world as a child, you got caught up in the system made of you what it made of you. It didn't treat you completely right, and it's not your fault. How in the hell are we going to blame parents when they graduated this past June? What if 12 previous years, nobody taught them how to be parents, nobody taught them about civic duties, nobody taught them about anything but go to school and try to get an education, and now here they are being blamed for what they cannot live up to. It is not your fault.
Oh, no, man. All right, real quick, I just want to say to all the callers and the people who's listening out there, y'all can go back and re-listen to these shows on YouTube, Western World 1 on YouTube. Y'all can post them around Facebook, Twitter, if you want your friends to listen in, you know what I'm saying? Come join us every Wednesday. We always going to have a good topic like this, you know what I'm saying? We want y'all to call in because we want
to hear the voices from the community. Once again, we want to thank every caller that called in tonight, and it's been good rocking with y'all, man.
Thank you. All right, brother. Thank you. And what was your name, brother, of St. Louis?
My name is Pianki, P-I-A-N-K-I.
Okay, Mr. Pianki, I just want to address you by your real name, and thank you again for calling in, man. I love St. Louis to a certain degree. I just can't go to East St. Louis, man. It's just crazy.
Well, East St. Louis is in Illinois. Now, St. Louis is in Missouri. That's across
okay,
the river.
So that's the difference. All right, Mr. Pianki, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Be cool.
All right. All right, Case, what I'll do is I'll play a quick commercial, man. We just shut it down.
All right, cool, cool. Good show, man.
Man, good show, man. I love it, bro. Man.
All right.
Tune in to the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westernworld1.com